It's going to be brief, but it is the news, according to me. In America. For those of you who saw the show yesterday, it is Tuesday, May 27th, 7:05 a.m. By the way, if you read that backwards, if you have 5:27:25, you can read that backwards. It's the same thing. This whole week, it's been forwards, backwards week at the date. So if 25:52:725, it's the same back both ways. Tomorrow, same thing. And the next day, the same thing. Till the next day, and then it's not. That's all I have to say about that. So I have a, there were some things I was going to talk about today. it's topical Tuesday. But of course, I had a topic all picked out. I had it all kind of lined up. And I, a couple of topics. Usually I try to pick three. And I hit on one that I really want to do. And I have two others that I kind of slightly talk about. I didn't, because the show has to be brief today, I have a meeting at 8 o'clock. That I have to be to, and of course, it's always something. I get 6 weeks off, and every day there's something. I have to have something that gets in the way of something. Can't really start anything, do anything of any significance, because there's always something. In the middle of the day, or during the day, whatever it is. But today's kind of full with some things. I have this appointment to do at 8 o'clock, and then normally I would just come back and do the show after that, but however, it's the rest of the day, the rest of the story. I have to do some traveling around rest of the day, and I don't know what's going to happen this evening. I was this evening to do some things, I think. Can't think of anything else that's on my schedule. And of course, there's always things that can pop up for the rest of the week. But we have... That's just the way life is, I guess. You know, I talked to some of my retired friends, and they're, I have to make sure I say retired very clearly. The thing, well, by the way, speaking of, my cup has chai with Almond Joy creamer in it, and I have a freshly brewed and properly seasoned, aged, I made it last night, the sweet tea with peaches in it. So there actually is a peach flavor in the tea, but it's real peaches. I actually put two slices of peaches in my tea here. Yeah, that's good stuff. It's not quite as sweet as normal. I'm not sure why. That particular... sip anyway wasn't all that super sweet, but it's my wife can attest to it. I had a whole thing full of sugar I put in there, which is a normal amount. So it's that's good tea. It's not too sweet. It's just right. It has that little bit of the little flavor of the peach in there, which is very good. Very good stuff. So beside me, I have my faithful companion here, my dog. I have he's laying down here. He's getting used to this routine now. We do our breakfast stuff, we do all that stuff, and then he kind of settles down. Usually we go for a little walk outside, just on a leash. We have 7 acres here, so he goes out first thing. He goes out in the fenced in area, has his breakfast, then he goes back out again, and then I give him a little dental treat thing when they come back in. And then usually I have breakfast. They have to sit there while I have breakfast. And I usually take them out for a quick walk around the property here. But that didn't happen this morning. It usually happens either before or after the show. This morning it's not going to happen at all because I'm going straight from the show here to my meeting, which is pretty much what this show has become. The topic of the show has become the meeting. Anyway... well, onward and upward. I try to get to the subject, to something within the first 5 minutes. We're at 4:51 right now. So this is, here you go. That includes the intro. I do want to talk about something that's, it's kind of, been a hot topic, you might say, as opposed to a hot pocket. We have, it's been on the news quite a bit in the last week or so, mainly because of the issue with South Africa, the president coming here, and of course everybody thinks that the president humiliated him, disrespected him and humiliated him in the Oval Office. Here we go again. He's humiliated another world leader in the Oval Office. You know, Zelensky was the first one, of course among others. Everything he does, of course, is humiliating to people who don't like him. And people post these things. They put I'm sorry to the world for, you know, want to apologize to the world for this, for our president. If you go down this road, this is typical leftist. Look, rage can cause certain kinds of blindness in a person, and this is what's happening with this whole situation. That you have a group of people who have frenzied themselves up to the point where they have such hatred for a person that nothing can change that, nothing can solve that, nothing. How do you get beyond that? You have a group of people who only see things through their own lens. They have no ability to have any kind of normal discourse. The if I could find I'm pretty sure I should have had this video up. I'll have some stuff up this week. Some video that's some audio anyway. That is very telling. There's this one particular individual who was ranting, just yelling, screaming at the top of her lungs. And it becomes very obvious that there's something deranged going on here. There's something very, it goes beyond the normal discourse of having a discussion with someone like this. This is where they are. They can't have a discussion. There's no discussion. The discussion's over. The science is settled. It's just all these things that are, you know, oh, no, it's done. It's settled. There's no argument. You either go along with what they're saying, or you are the fascist. You are the enemy. Everyone has to agree, or you're the enemy. You have freedom of speech as long as it's legal speech. Well, if I disagree, is that illegal speech? Yes, because you're disagreeing. Because that's not true. What you're saying isn't true because we disagree. Because what I say is true, and what you say is not. The science is settled. Or whatever it is. So that is the baseline. That's the foundation of fascism. This is the right way to do it, and we're going to push it, and regardless of what you think or disagree with, this is the way it's going to go. I know. You can look up the definition of the word fascism on Wikipedia or some Google site. It's going to tell you it's a far right wing leader, whatever it is. It's just whatever, you know, it's always about the right wing. Nazism is all right wing. They were right wing. They were socialists. How many right wing socialists do you know of? The right wing, the really extreme alt right is ultimate conservative. The further you go into conservatism, you don't end up at white supremacy. You talk to the head of the KKK or any other white supremacist group that you not the Proud Boys, they're not white supremacists. Okay, that's just stupid. They keep why they don't come out with a little bit more of a defense? Why they rely on everybody else to defend them? I don't know. They need to come out with some and the Oath Keepers. Oh my word. not a group of white supremacists. And yet you would think so because of the way the media portrays them. Because they push back against the establishment. Of course, the establishment primarily, the worst of the establishment is the socialist demagogues that are trying to push their thing. But anyway, it's I want to get into go from there. The main topic I want to discuss here a little bit, just for a little bit here, is the issue of what's going on in South Africa. Now, if you recall back a few episodes ago on the news, according to me, we had I had a little topic about economics. Now, it's just, I'm not an economist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I do have a grasp on economics, on the basic fundamentals of economics. I don't know why. I don't know if it was something I learned in school. I don't know. It's when you, and I kind of live the way you live, but there are certain things about the economics of a country, of a society, of a group of people that you have to understand. Water, of course, is at the foundation of everything. You have to have water. People die. Your society collapses very quickly, and it's within days. We're talking now. Food, on the other hand, is a bigger deal, in my opinion. It's even though top of the food chain is water. One of the biggest reasons they're talking about having a sustainable colony on the moon is because they think they've found water there. Well, they have found water there. The problem is harvesting it and getting it and then maintaining it, because you can't just, you have to make sure you don't lose it. If it gets into the atmosphere, if you release it improperly, if you don't recycle it properly, you're going to lose it. So the idea, from there, you have to have an economy, and you have to have some kind of, something has to go back and forth. You can't have a self-sustained colony there without some kind of interaction with the planet, with Earth. Now, the thing about this whole thing is what's my dog doing? We have food is at the core of a nation's economy. Without it, your society can't survive. You can't live. You can't trade. You can't, you're going to be at the mercy of someone else. You'll be beholden to someone else, because if you can't, say you have all the oil in the world, well, now you got to trade that oil for food. The Arab nations are not known for their farming, even though they do some farming. They're not known for that. They import a lot of grain. They import a lot of food. They export the oil. That's where their riches come from. At some point, the oil runs out. Farming, on the other hand, is a very sustainable, constantly renewable product of the land. And so you farm the land, you have the basics of your economy are sustainable, and you have a baseline sustenance for your population. In fact, if you produce too much, if you overproduce the food, you can trade it for other things, for other countries that cannot produce food. There is a big issue with the laws actually went into place in the late 90s, I think, in South Africa. Now, you can argue there's basically three different arguments here. There's one that says that there needs to be expropriation with compensation to the farmers that are there, with an understanding that there is also that the farmers themselves manage the land and still provide, their service, their ability to, but the land itself, and they would have to lease the land. the farmers themselves think that they should just be able to keep the land, and even though they don't have a problem with land being given. There's plenty of land there. This is the weird part of the whole thing. There's plenty of land. The farmland is no different than the land that was anywhere else. Now, there's the argument from the, I can't remember the name of the tribe. It's not the Hutus. I can't remember what the name of it. There were basically two rivaling tribes in South Africa that pretty much slaughtered each other after apartheid was over. And one of them, of course, won out. Now, there were other tribes as well. There's several tribes. And the farmland was part of a tribe that was kind of a little lesser known. But that land wasn't being used, according to the colonizers, that land wasn't being used for anything. So they took that land and they turned it into farms to feed people. So these descendants of colonizers that were there now, they want to take that land away from them without a compensation. And the reason that the far extreme side of the argument is that land was taken without compensation and we should get it back without compensation. And in fact, it was taken by violence, with violence. They violently took it without compensation and it should be taken back, even with violence. That's the one extreme on one side. And of course, the farmers, they're like, well, who's going to grow the food? Who's going to pick it? And here's the problem. Well, the Africans are not going to step in and farm the land. They say that they're going to. Here's the problem. The conservative estimate of the farms that have been taken over so far is that 77% of them have failed. They've literally gone back to desert. Gone back to nothing. They produce nothing. 77% of them. 90% of the land, so you have to understand, 90% of the land that has been expropriated from the colonizers, the descendants of colonizers, has failed. It has gone back to nothing. It's just scrub. And we're talking millions of acres. And this, now there are people in the middle of this argument that are residents there who are descendants of the traditional landowners that were there. They're looking at this going, the white people feed us. The white farmers, they're the ones feeding us. This is where we get our food. And the farms are going away as they're being expropriated. Now, I think that there's this number, I think it's 75% of all the farms were supposed to be expropriated. Of course, how they decide who's going to lose what, all that kind of thing is all based on, it's almost like a reparations kind of thing. So you're punishing people who had nothing to do with it, just happened to be their descendants of the people who did. And even the farmers themselves were not necessarily the people who were the colonizers. People who started the farms in the beginning, they're just people who happened to be there and took over the farming. They were farmers, and they just decided to start doing farming in Africa, South Africa. Now, you have to understand, this is the mentality of people who have hatred in their hearts for the colonizers. They're bitter for what happened to their people 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and it's... This is again, we're trying to go back in time and make something right, to right a wrong with people who weren't even involved. Now, you could do this all day, every day, for the next 1,000 years, trying to right all the wrongs that humans have done to humans. And you get back to the whole thing of Cain striking Abel. Cain striking Abel. And you're still not going to right that wrong. It's just there's, And where does it end? It ends here, today, is where we end it. We end it with forgiveness. We end it with reconciliation, with understanding. How do we move on from here? And we make judgments that are clear and present in today's society for today, not what happened in a completely dead generation. That's not common. That's common sense. It doesn't work in today's world. Because everyone's entitled to something. And that's how that works. So the basis of their economy, and this is where there's some projectionists, right, or economic projections right now that are very doom and gloom for South Africa. In fact, it may return to being a third world country once again, because, which is not right now. The problem is most of the people who are able to maintain the farms, maintain the equipment, maintain the societal standards that they need to keep the farms going, the regular means of production and the means of distribution and marketing, everything else that's out there. All of those things are going to collapse because the people that are getting the farms have no idea what they're doing. Now, here's the really sad part about this is, let's say a white farmer, Afrikaner, as they call them, a white South African who owns a farm ends up losing the farm. It's not just some white guy out running a tractor. These are massive farms, and they probably, on average, they probably employ 20 to 25 people. On average, some of them 50 to 100 people probably. Some of the people working on those farms have worked there for their family. They're like this one lady was interviewed. I was listening to. She was about 80 some years old, almost 90 years old, and her family had been there forever. And of course, now she was black. She was Native African American or South African. She'd been there forever. I mean, her family, well, not forever, but their family had been there, and her. She grew up there with her parents working on that farm. And they got kicked off. Not from the white people. The white people didn't kick her off. The white farmers didn't kick her off. They had their whole family was employed there, and they loved it there. They stayed there. This was their home. This was where they stayed. This is what they did. They weren't slaves. They could leave anytime they wanted to. But they had a good life there. It was a family-run operation, and it was. And there's, of course, hers wasn't the only one that had that story, but there's many other people being employed, so they're losing a huge amount of their workforce. It's just being kicked off, and in general, that's why the farms that fail, that's why they fail, because the other people come in to take the farm, and of course they just think it's going to. They basically just gut it, sell everything off. They don't know how to farm. They don't want to farm. They don't know what they're doing. The crops fail. I mean, it's a very tedious environment in order to maintain a farm. By the way, you can add that to the list of things I'm not. I'm not a farmer. But I've grown up basically in the cornfields of Indiana here. I grew up, all my friends were in high school, and most of them they grew up on a farm. They were farmers. You know, you drive through the cornfield to get to your house. The farming is just kind of here. It's kind of like the RV industry, the recreational vehicle industry here as well in this county. It's just those two things, farming and RVs. Just kind of, that's what happened here. So we have the, I have to have some of this tea. It's just sitting there, not being drank, and it's really good stuff. So that's my concern with this whole situation, is that there is very little basis for their economy. The problem with this whole thing, with losing the farms and losing the food production, is it's a very slow burn. you don't notice it overnight. Like, okay, we changed the farms over. Now, all of a sudden, the economy's going to crash. It is a very first of all, the farm takeovers have been a very gradual thing because it's been happening over the last 25 years. Now it's at a critical phase. It is a critical mass point. And they're at a point where they're going to have to start trading something for food. Importing food. That's what it's going to amount to. Once you have famine and starvation, then you will see really rampant problems. Now, this one guy, he claims, the guy on the far side of the expropriation thing where they should just be taken, farms should just be taken. He says that the reason for the high crime rate, the reason the crime rate went up after apartheid is because of poverty. That's my timer to tell me that I'm out of here. The high crime rate was because of poverty, because of the apartheid thing. Because they cracked down on it. So the crime rate went up after apartheid. Poverty went up after apartheid because of the Civil War, first of all. They didn't call it a civil war at the time, but that's what they had there. I know Mandela is typically, he's sainted by many people, but I think you're going to find that if you really look into his life and the decisions he made, things that happened after he became president of South Africa, or the prime minister, whatever they called him, things did not go well. And it led to massive economic issues. And decisions they've made since then are leading to even worse economic issues. So it was a country that could have been incredibly rich if things would have been handled properly. And it could have been turned back over to the non-colonizers, the non-Afrikaners. But the way they went about it was vicious, vindictive, unsystematic, and it was actually systematic, but the problem was it was a system based on reparations now kind of thing. We want what's not, well, it wasn't ours to begin with, but they're claiming it was theirs because their families before them or whatever. Let's talk about how their families lived before that. I mean, you could go back and then you'll go to any other country in Africa. Very few of them didn't have colonizers. And the problem today now is that we have a new colonization system. We'll talk about this more about this week. China. We have some interesting things happening in China. And there's some estimates right now, again, that first of all, their population is not as high as what they claim it is, which is a weird economic situation. And it's a weird thing that they would claim that they have over 1 billion people when they don't. They have maybe half that. There's some estimates that they might only have 350 million people there. Which is crazy. Now, it's probably in the tune of about 700 million. But even that's a pretty high estimate for some of these people are just like, no, there's no way they could have that many people there. Based on all kinds of on certain kinds of consumption and certain kinds of cell phone activities, or all this stuff that was happening before COVID and after COVID, and they're heading for a major collapse if they don't do. Which means that desperate people do desperate things. But the concern here is that what are they going to do here militarily? So we'll talk about some of those things. In the meantime, folks, I want to thank you for listening. I really do have to get going. Tomorrow's show will be a little bit more relaxed. Probably going to be about an hour long. We'll be talking about all the politics stuff that's going to happen over the weekend, some of the things that have been going on with George Floyd stuff and all the anniversary of all that stuff. And, you know, just, yeah. We'll have some interesting things to talk about tomorrow. In the meantime, again, pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. Pray for your family and your friends, and even those who are not your friends. Bless those who persecute you. And pay attention. Try to, you know, all the rhetoric you hear and see on Facebook and social media, just don't let it cloud what your eyes are actually seeing, what your ears are actually hearing, folks. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. See ya.